You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, credential member of the media, editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, and just general Pelicans insider. Here with you all on this Wednesday, day after Mardi Gras. Hopefully you have all survived the weekend and all the festivities that took place yesterday. I may have a torn meniscus in my knee, so it remains to be seen if I actually survived or not. But the Pelicans got a game today in the Smoothie King Center on a day that everyone's going to be probably exhausted and have no energy, again, after Mardi Gras and everything. We're going to preview that. They take on the Lakers in their final game before the All-Star break. Also need to recap the game from Lundi Gras where the Pelicans beat the Detroit Pistons 118-103, where we saw a new starting lineup after they tried to mix it up with Rajon Rondo off the bench. It didn't quite work against the 76ers, prompted some change back to the normal starting lineup, but then we saw a new one. What was the change? Did it make a difference? And do we think we'll see it going forward? We're going to talk about all of that and more in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So let's dive right into everything with the Pelicans picking up a win over the Detroit Pistons 118-103 in what was a very good game all around for the Pels. This is probably their best win maybe since, maybe not their best win, but it's up there with their better win since the DeMarcus Cousins injury, as you saw this team kind of put forth an all-around effort and get big games from Davis, who looked like he cared, get contributions from Jrue Holiday, everyone else. And this is exactly what you needed to see from this team, especially with Nikola Mirotic chipping in 21 points, 4 of 8 from 3, where your new big three is getting involved, working together, and you're seeing some chemistry develop, particularly between Mirotic and Anthony Davis. This game does begin and end with the Pelicans' big bird, not big birds anymore, but big bird and Anthony Davis, who just really sticks it to the Detroit Pistons, 38 points, 10 rebounds. This is the AD we want to see. This is performances like this are why we criticize him when he has bad games, because again, you know what he's capable of and you know what he does to this team. He just absolutely destroys the Pistons on a regular basis. So to see him care and fight for boards and get in there and do all the kind of nitty-gritty things you want to see from him makes it even harder on the nights that he doesn't do those type of things and doesn't have a performance like this. But this is what he needed to do. Lead by example, show that energy, that effort that's been lacking from this team. The big interesting wrinkle from the game, not player though, was that Emeka Okafor started at center. The Pelicans tried out Liggins in place of Rondo the other night. That didn't really work. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute though. But now they get a new starting lineup change that really seemed to work. You got Emeka Okafor at center. Maybe this was kind of a game-by-game thing, as Alvin Gentry said after the contest, that Okafor might start depending on matchup. It might not be a regular thing like this. But Okafor at center allows him to draw the assignment of defending Andre Drummond, leaving Anthony Davis to deal with Blake Griffin. Griffin, who usually handles him a little bit and puts up numbers against him, but it makes AD not have to guard the bigger, bulkier center that wants to bang and try and rebound, and puts him potentially at a disadvantage, at least on the defensive side. He lights up Drummond on the offensive end of the court. Again, as you saw, and Drummond was guarding him for most of the game. So it freed up Anthony Davis to have a little bit more energy, I think. He doesn't have to worry about dealing with Andre Drummond and allows them to close the halves better a little bit. Okafor, in 13 minutes, 51 seconds, did most of his work, played about 6-plus minutes in the first quarter. Again, not closing out the half. You went then with Etuan Moore, Anthony Davis, Holiday, Mirotic, and Rondo there. So it allowed you to kind of keep those guys a little bit fresh and then all of a sudden throw a wrinkle at the Pistons. It was a very good coaching move, in my opinion. Okafor started the third, played that, got about 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, and that was it. Just making it a little bit easier for Anthony Davis to be his effective self. I like this coaching move. I like this. I think they will keep it just based off of opponent and lineups that they play and that he's not, you know, entrenched in stone in the starting center. And this performance, getting that start, was definitely enough to get Emeka Okafor another 10-day contract here in New Orleans. Now, the question becomes is what happens at the end of those 10 days? Do they sign him for the season or not? And I think at this point, you're kind of looking at it like they probably will. Rajon Rondo had his second straight effective game against the Detroit Pistons. He put up 8 points, 8 assists, 3 turnovers, 5 rebounds. But he's kind of been a bit of a spark. And if you look at the on-off numbers, which we'll talk about later in the week since the benching, so our two-game sample size, which there's a lot of noise in there. Again, small sample size, beware, and all of that has looked quite effective. And the coaching job that Alvin Gentry's done to get his team to kind of wake up and play their best ball these past two games, even though it took double overtime to beat the Nets, has been pretty good. Rondo doesn't want to come off the bench. I think everyone knows this. He can be a malcontent in an offense and with a team at times, so you've got to be very careful about how you treat him. But that one game benching seems to have woken him up a little bit, and you're seeing good Rajon Rondo right now. Look, he's not the player he once was still, but there was something to that move just to throw him on the bench. Maybe they really thought the Liggins lineups would work, or maybe this was to send a message to Rondo, who at times was kind of being a little bit unplayable for the Pels. Now he's not unplayable, and you can use him to close things out and do the right thing here and get the lineups in that you need. So it's been a very good move. And this is why coaching matters and why I want to give some credit to Alvin Gentry when he does things well. I've been hard on him all year. But little things like this can sometimes tweak and wake up a team, particularly this Pelicans team that desperately needed some wins, and you could see losing this game to, you know, the generic version, the generic soda version of their set themselves in the Detroit Pistons team. Kerr's move the other night was similar to something like this, where he just let the players coach themselves and was like, look, my voice is being stale. They're not listening to me. He said, I'm tired of my own voice, so I just let him coach the plays and run the huddles, draw up the timeouts. He handled the rotations, but let them do everything else to just try and liven things up a little bit. And very clearly, it worked with that team as they definitely got that big win over Phoenix. Not that they wouldn't have anyway, but that is an opponent they would typically tend to play down to. So it was nice to see. You know, Gentry just screaming at these guys or talking to them in practice with nothing changing might get a little bit stale. They might tune them out. But you bench a guy, as we've been screaming for all year at times, by the way, even if it was Cousins for a little bit and bring him off the bench to see if that had done anything, sometimes wakes these guys up because you've at least got to change something. Just like Kerr did, you've got to at least change something. If you don't change anything, well, what do you expect? You know, so this was a move, and these lineups are how you go about making that change. So good on Alvin Gentry for making this happen the past couple of games. So before we talk a little bit more about Emeka Okafor, his 10-day contract, whether or not they should sign him for the rest of the season, fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft and Draft.com are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site and app. No more getting crushed by the pros. No more needing spreadsheets to figure out who's the best player to sign for your team to use your salary cap on. And it's not just me that have realized this. More than 1 million people have already downloaded the Draft app as well. Play in a real live NBA draft right now, not a salary cap league where everyone has the same players. A real live NBA draft. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. Your fantasy football league is over. The basketball leagues are usually heading towards the playoffs right about now. You might be out of there. You're a smart fan. You know this league. You know the players. You listen to the Locked On Podcast Network podcast. Take advantage of that. Put your money where your mouth is and get in on the Draft app. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOPELICANS. That's right, play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOPELICANS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Podcast listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with the promo code LOPELICANS. So let's talk a little bit more about Emeka Okafor. It is official. I just got the email as I was recording this that the Pelicans have signed him to a second 10-day contract, which is no surprise. This is going to take the Pelicans past the All-Star break with him, where they'll then need to make a decision. But usually during that time, you'll have an idea of who's going to be on the buyout market, who isn't, as a lot of that is still unknown. And we've spent some time talking about it. But the name we really haven't looked at is Emeka Okafor. Maybe we've written him off a little bit too early. In the start against the Pistons, he had a pretty good night. 4 of 10 shooting, not amazing, 40% obviously, but he put up 8 points and grabbed 7 rebounds. That's not terrible here, to be honest, in 13 and a half minutes of play. And in the 3 games he's played with the Pelicans, one of them being a start, he's been averaging 14.3 minutes. He's putting up 5 points and 5.7 rebounds. Like, don't know if you can really ask for a whole lot more than that. He's a low usage guy that can kind of get efficient points under the basket. He's doing that rebounding and dirty work that someone needs to on this team. We've seen how much this Pelicans team struggles without DeMarcus Cousins on the defensive and offensive glass. And you don't really trust Cheick Diallo just yet. He's put up a handful of games over the past 3 here that have looked good, and he's not fouling near as much. But I don't think this coaching staff trusts him just yet to keep up that level of play and not revert to where he is hurting the team more than helping. Okafor seems to have the trust, and the staff definitely likes veteran players when it comes to that third big rotation, and, you know, potentially it's stunting or just Diallo's not progressing as much his growth, which can hurt you a little bit there. And if in this kind of intense playoff race, and if you look at the standings, which we're probably going to talk about tomorrow here on Locked On Pelicans, you can't risk it. You know, you're in too tight of a playoff race. There's too much on the line to risk giving Diallo those minutes on the off chance he has one of those horrible, horrible fouling games. Okafor, though, you're not really worried about that with it. And he's, again, doing the dirty work. He gives you a little bit more versatility here to kind of match up against bigger, bulkier centers like an Andre Drummond, or when you might need a guy like this. And knowing that this team is going to be playing the Hornets and different things, so you're going to have Dwight Howard's coming in and different things like that, you've got to have a guy who can kind of handle that load, which the Pelicans didn't once DeMarcus Cousins went down. So now they do. And would you prefer Okafor over a guy like Brook Lopez should he get bought out? I don't know about that. I think you'd take Brook Lopez, who can do a lot of this and just has a much higher ceiling and is better able to help this franchise. But say Channing Frye gets waived by the Lakers, which is also a realistic possibility. He's not going to do a lot of what Emeka Okafor is doing, that playing below the basket, getting those boards, allowing Davis to draw the easier assignment on defense. He's not going to be able to give you that. He might give you a 3-point shooting, but overall, the Pelicans are doing okay in that regard. They're not an amazing 3-point shooting team that they were in December, but they've still been playing much better, and they shot above 40% from 3 against the Pistons. They shot 41.2%, 14 of 34 from deep on the night. Mirotić starting to get his stroke going. So was Darius Miller, by the way, 12 points off the bench. All of them made threes, exactly kind of what you want to see with him. But Okafor gives you that greater versatility, which I think this Pelicans team needs to value right now. You're not necessarily going to go out and impose your will with the two bigs like you were with Davis and Cousins out there. So you need to be able to react to opponents more appropriately. And I think Okafor does that. Also, the likelihood, say, of a guy like Channing Frye or Brook Lopez or any of the other top buyout guys coming to New Orleans hasn't come to fruition yet, and you don't know if it will. Greg Monroe spurned them to go to the Celtics, saying it was at least a tough choice, but that more seemed to be with it being the hometown team than him wanting to come here in the basketball situation. Marco Bellinelli immediately signed with the Sixers, adding his shooting to them. Also, by the way, interesting note with him was, I think NBA Twitter discovered this over the weekend, he has blocked virtually everyone that like writes or talks about basketball. I had no idea I was blocked by him. I don't even follow him. I have openly said I think he was my least favorite then Hornets player at the time because I wanted him just to be so good and he was just all right for the team. And I probably have said so on Twitter, and I think he's blocked me for it. And then people started looking, and almost every single person was blocked by Marco Bellinelli. Just kind of a weird thing. It makes no real sense. Like, okay, sure, dude, why not? But I mean, really? Like, what's going on there? What's up with that? So an interesting thing to see, as we all learned. But Joe Johnson is signing with the Rockets, and these guys aren't coming to New Orleans. So do you take the risk of waiving Okafor, letting his 10-day contract expire, trying to get someone else? And maybe he gets snapped up by another team, because certainly he's playing well enough to be on an NBA roster right now. He's also a good locker room guy. Everyone seems to like him. He's a fan favorite. Everyone's been thrilled he's here in New Orleans. Just as a fan, I've seen so many Okafor Mardi Gras jerseys, the old Mardi Gras jerseys, the original Mardi Gras jerseys, now that we're on the third iteration of them, out at the parade routes this past weekend and week. It's a lot of fun kind of just to have him here. It's an underdog story. It's tough not to root for the guy. It just seems like a good, solid dude in general. And sometimes that's an important thing to have in your locker room and on your team. So maybe he doesn't give you the upside that a Brook Lopez does. Maybe he doesn't give you the shoot. Well, it's obvious he doesn't give you the shooting that a Channing Frye does. But frankly, there could be a whole lot worse guys you could bring in here. And again, do you take the bird in hand or risk, you know, trying to get and go after someone else? And I think this Pelican staff, knowing how much is on the line, is seriously going to take a look at keeping him around for the rest of the season. You're not going to sign him to a two-year deal, likely. You just sign him for the rest of the year or an unguaranteed deal next year. He doesn't give you much upside next year when you're going to have a healthy team at some point. And hopefully Diallo figures to get a bigger role. You'll have Mirotić, Davis, Cousins, Diallo, Okafor. There's an odd man out in there somewhere, and it's going to likely be Okafor at that point. So I don't know if that's a situation that's great for him either. But as this team tries to make this playoff run, which is very important to the franchise top to bottom and everyone involved in it, you're going to have to seriously consider keeping the old man in Emeka Okafor here in New Orleans for an extended period of time. And he's doing the work to justify it. You can have fun looking at his per 36 minute numbers, which are not reflective at all of what his capacity would be to play for 36 minutes in the game. Be giving you 12.6 points and 14.2 rebounds. That's cool. I'm happy with the 5 points and 5.7 rebounds right now, and the versatility he gives you to match up with opponents a little bit better. So we'll see if this continues. He's here for this Laker game. I don't think his contract, I got to look at the dates exactly, if it'll line up with Thursday's game against the Miami Heat after the All-Star break. And if it does, maybe they'll get one more look at him before in a tougher matchup too, because you've got Whiteside there. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not they keep him, but I think they're going to take a long look at him. And with the way he's playing right now, I can't say it's the wrong choice. So before we talk about the Lakers and Lonzo Ball and LaVar Ball and all of that, because we're going to touch on that because someone asked me about it and I got some interesting thoughts on it here. Make sure you check out the Locked On NBA podcast, the once a week podcast, which might be going to a little bit more. Just keep an eye out on that. So make sure you start listening in to the Locked On NBA podcast to catch up on what's going on around the association, particularly as we hit the All-Star break. Know what's going on in the standings, know where teams are, what they're looking to try and do, who the major players might be as we head towards the playoffs. And you can do that all by listening to the Locked On NBA podcast. So we're going to do the final segment kind of quickly here, as I went a little bit long-winded in the last one. But the Pelicans take on the Lakers tonight in their final game before the All-Star break in what should be an easy matchup, with the Lakers sitting at 23-32. However, you look at this team and their new roster after the shakeup trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it's not going to be that. This is a young, hungry team that even before that trade was playing quite well. And they're 7-3 over their past 10 games. This is what the Pelicans kind of are missing from their roster. Young, hungry guys who just want to go out there, ball, and get at it and try and make a name for themselves, prove they stay in the league, just want to go out and win because that's what they need to do. And the Lakers are doing just that. They get out there and they like to run. They play that up-tempo style from Luke Walton. They're first in pace in the league. They're, I think, second in the league when it comes to fast break points per game. So you can't look at their record and just write this team off. They're going to have energy. They probably see like a wounded animal here in the Pelicans, and they want to go after them. They've also got Isaiah Thomas coming off the bench, and in his one game for them, he put up 22 points. The dude, despite his defensive struggles and all of the issues he has, can still score, and he's going to have potentially a field day against this Pelicans second unit. You might have to mess with the rotations a little bit to get a guy like Jrue Holiday in back into the game after his rest a little bit sooner rather than later, because you need to slow down that scoring punch that they're going to have. So fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you view it, Lonzo Ball, the second overall pick in the draft and the dude with the insanely annoying father, is going to be out for the game. But this brings up an interesting thing that someone actually asked me about on Twitter. Let me try and pull it up here really quickly, and I'll give you a shout out. But the other day, LaVar Ball basically said that at the end of Lonzo's third year, he's not going to re-sign with whatever team it is, the Lakers or whomever, if you're not going to make room for his two brothers. And this is maybe the silliest damn thing I've ever heard. And it was Art underscore NBA asking me this, NBA artist, the other day on Twitter. And this is, like I said, maybe the silliest thing because, you know, you might be able to sign Lonzo Ball for cheap if that's the case, because no one else is going to do it. But you've got to guarantee two roster spots for his brothers, who are not really NBA prospects whatsoever. And I also don't think LaVar Ball really understands how restricted free agency is going to work and how much money he's going to be potentially costing his son. So rookies have 2 years guaranteed on their contracts, and then it's 2 years worth of team options on the back end. You pick one up, and then you pick the other one up. So you always have your rookie if you want for at least 4 years. Then, as we know from the Eric Gordon saga, they go into restricted free agency. If they get another offer from a team elsewhere, you just match it and they stay here. Remember, Gordon's heart was in Phoenix. Or they can take the qualifying offer, which is based off of, I think, where they're drafted, which is a one-year deal. They take that. Then after, they tend to go in. They become an unrestricted free agent, can sign wherever they want. Now, the tender, they call it, the one-year qualifying offer, is dangerous to take, because if you get injured during that season, you're not going to be getting as big of a contract as you could be. And since contracts are guaranteed here in the NBA, sometimes it's better just to get that four-year deal and stay there in the current city you're in, even if you don't like the team, for the guaranteed money and try and force a trade later. But if he thinks he's going to get big money when roster spots can be at a premium and the Pelicans, you know, as we just talked about, aren't entirely sure about what to do with theirs, and that's going to be the case all over the place for almost every team, you're not going to give three roster spots for essentially one player. Yeah, you've seen situations where people sign someone's brother to certain things. Don't forget, DeMarcus Cousins has a younger brother who's on the Pelicans Summer League team, but they sure as hell weren't going to give him an actual roster spot on opening day if he wasn't good. You've seen Goran Dragic, the Heat, sign his younger brother. But again, that guy could actually play a little bit in the NBA. J.R. Smith's younger brother was with the Knicks for a little bit. Now, maybe you'd sign the two younger Balls who are over in Lithuania to a D-League two-way contract, something like that. Because those, as we've seen with the Pelicans doing it, and they only have one guy on one right now, which is, again, something we're going to talk about over the next week or so, as we don't have games to discuss, haven't been used in the developmental capacity that I think teams or the Players Association were hoping they were going to be used as. So you could maybe just put those guys there and make them happy. But this is going to be interesting, because I don't think this is going to work whatsoever. And also, it's not after his third year. Regardless, that's my thoughts on that. I don't really like talking about him much because I don't particularly care. But it's still worth mentioning because it's such a silly thing. And I saw this the other day and I could not believe it. Anyway, Laker game tonight. Again, fast paced. We're going to see both these teams run. Pelicans desperately need to get a win, and I think Alvin Gentry's done a pretty damn good job coaching the past two or three games or so, when it seemed like he should be fired. So it's two games after that Philadelphia loss. Let's see if they can get a win tonight as they enter into the All-Star break and keep a little bit of momentum going with a three-game winning streak. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight. Again, I hope you have recovered from Mardi Gras. We'll be talking all sorts of different things over the next like 9 or 10 days as we have some time until the Pelicans play again next. I'll give my thoughts on the All-Star game. I'm not a fan of it, to be honest. Don't really care. I'll go into why, as well as whatever you guys want to hear. So if you've got any questions or topics, this is kind of like the open mic time where the phone lines are open. Let me know what you guys want to discuss, and we will discuss it here on Locked On Pelicans. Also, big thanks to Draft for sponsoring Locked On Pelicans for part of this year. And don't forget to check out the Locked On NBA podcast, as well as LockedOnPelicans.com, for all of your coverage you need about your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the game.